I'm still a child in some ways myself, and the while I was watching this fly swatter and whirring off in the wings, I also noticed there's a large red button over here. Just no other buttons, just one large red button, and on it it has written stop. And you know how you like, sometimes it seems irresistible, the idea of jumping off a cliff or breaking a bubble that someone's blown? I wanted to push that button. Fortunately, there's some sanity in my life, and I didn't. I don't know what would have become of us if I had pushed it. The source of the sanity in my life, read poems for you a few moments ago, and this is a poem somewhat for her, somewhat for myself. It's called The City of the Elisha Fruit. In it, you have an old couple. The man speaks. He has an imaginary city that he's built in his mind and that he visits each day. Sometimes he rains on it, sometimes he snows there. Watches out for the children. Has some conversation with his wife. His hero is the Russian, the great Russian writer, Yuri Alesha. And he speaks to Alesha in the poem often when he's not speaking to his wife or to us. It is a love poem. It is bizarre, too. The City of the Elisha Fruit. Outside the window, past the two hills, there is the city where the colorblind are waking to blue pears. Also, there are the blue treetops waving to the schoolgirls who step harshly along in winter dresses. Out of the mouths of these girls come the cones, their breath, a mist like the little silver ear trumpets of deaf children tipped toward whatever it is they are almost hearing. An old man without legs, not yet in a chair, has invented the city outside the window. And everywhere now, it is morning. He hears his wife climbing the stairs. What, he thinks, what to do? I might say that the strong line of her back is like a spoon. He says, good morning, and how are you? She says, Rumen, I told you the hen should have been put up with straw in the attic. Last night the fox ate all of her but the dark spurs under her chin and a few feathers. His wife gathers him up in her arms, walks to the far corner of the room, and lowers him into a straight chair beside a table. Only last year he would sit and stare at the shoes he could wear, without socks and with the laces loose. A tub is filling in another room. He thinks, poor widow is inside the stomach of a fox. My wife's idea was not a good one. Where would widow have found the scratch and gravel for her shells while up in the attic? And what about the rooster? What about the poor rooster on his railing by the barn, inconsolable, crowing? Rumen remembers a Russian story about a copper rooster with a green fern for a tail. Rumen's favorite writer is the great Russian, Yuri Alesha. Rumen thinks, yes, Yuri, my companion, there is cruelty in the format of a kiss, and the blue skins of pears in a heap on a dish leave a memory of myself as a boy running along the flume water down past the village ditch. But Yuri, in my city, all the streets are just this moment being swept. Old women in jade dresses sweeping, sweeping. And soon it will rain for them. And then I'll return their sun, a noon sun to take away the wet before the children rush out under the bells for an hour's recess. Oh, Yuri, just beyond the grin of a smelly old fox, that's where widow is, our best hen. Yuri, my legs, I think, are buried in the orchard beside the stable, where all the hospital horses in my city wait, poised for an emergency. These horses are constant, how they race down the cobbled streets for me. They never trample the children. Rumen, his wife called, do you want a haircut this morning? She steps into the room, He smiles at her. She's buttoning her blouse. And she smiles back to him. Ruman would say to Yuri that sometimes her yellow hair got into the corners of his mouth. And Yuri, that was when I most missed my youth. Then Ruman would again fall silent. He was off opening a rain cloud over his city. It was winter when he woke, but now I'm sure it's not. There are a few dark flowers. Ruman feels that it is best for the children if they walk to school in the clear winter air. But once he gets around to raining on his trees, streets, and houses, well, then he changes everything to late July or August. But the evenings in his city are always placed in autumn. There's the smell of wood smoke, so pleasant, and leaves burning. Flocks of bluebirds would be flying south. And so there is the obscurity of many lives, not yours, Olesha, but mine and my wife's. Two characters who are, perhaps in a shade, just now sipping on an iced summer tea with its twigs and leaves floating around inside. We're giggling. I think about how shy we were as lovers that first winter night when I kissed her in the dark barn, right in her open eye. I tried again, and I missed again. To accidentally kiss a young girl in her open eye is, I think, Yuri, the beginning of experience. I did find her mouth that night, but then the following winter, a week before our wedding, I missed again. This time I kissed a small bare breast. That wasn't an accident, Yuri. I'd kissed her in an open eye, a tender place, the single clear tear running down her face in the surprise, for she reached out to touch my hand and found my thigh. The shyness of lovers, as softly at night they miss and miss while following an old map. Yes, the format of a kiss. But in the city of the Olesha fruit, there's no war, no sex, no sickness. But all of the flowers are posthumous. A citizen never dies in my city. He just wakes one morning without his legs, and then he is given a city of his very own making. In this way, his existence narrows while expanding like a diary, or like this landscape with two hills seen through my window early each and every morning. But Yuri, outside this window, yes, I know, what's there is there, and all of it indelible as our memory of blue pears washed and being eaten in the sunlight of a city that is being constructed all of the time. Its new gold domes and towers, just beyond two hills in the winter air, and somewhere inside the mind.